and some of the decisions that are still being made in our country, but I'm glad that I live in a country where I'm free to worship the way that I choose to worship. And I'm thankful tonight that I was brought up in a place that taught me about the one, the only, the true God. And as we've come together tonight and we are celebrating that freedom today, but there's also some freedom in Christ that we've been given. And as we get into John chapter number 8, begin reading with verse number 31. In just a moment, we're going to be getting in to that freedom and the cause of that freedom. You know, for us to be able to come tonight and not have to sneak and not have to worry about someone coming in here and a government shutting us down and telling us that we can't come, there had to be a lot of sacrifices that was given for that, you know. And it's amazing how that a country that is so into celebrating the reason that we're free. And I want to tell you tonight that even as the Bible talks about us not taking our spiritual liberty and stretching it to the extremes, it's almost like we live in a time that people are taking the liberty and they're abusing it, and it's almost binding us back up as a country. You know, they talk about wanting to disarm America. Well, the reason that we're free tonight is because there were citizens that were armed when it came time to stand up. And I'm not here preaching about gun control or anything else tonight, but we need to just be sure that even our liberty in Christ, that we don't abuse it to the place that it gets to where it works against us. But let's get started in verse number 31 before I chase the wrong rabbit. Verse number 31, the Bible says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.'" I want you to notice, just by looking at verse number 31, that there is a difference between believing in Jesus Christ and being one of his disciples. Now, I think that it should be our heart's desire, and it should be something that we strive for, to be called a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't think that nowadays, I do not think that we as churches do a good job at discipling new converts. I think that we preach salvation. I think that we give them the Bible. I think that while they're here on a Sunday morning, I think that we do our best to stay in the Word of God. But I don't think that we do a good job of discipling new believers in following Christ. I think a lot of times that people become Christians, they believe in Jesus Christ, and they accept him as their Savior. We hand them a Bible, and I know that in order for me to be a disciple, that it takes work on my part. It's just like I tell the girls that play softball for me and the guys that play baseball for me, if you only practice when we practice, you're not going to get any better. You got to work at home. And it's the same thing with our Christian and with our relationship with God. If the only Christian, the only church time, the only time with God you get is when we come together here, you're not going to get closer to God. It takes some work at home too. But In our Christian walk and in our churches today, I believe that we pray and we want people saved and we want to see them become believers. And we might even hand them a Bible and say, "Congratulations for getting saved. We love you. We're praying for you." And we send them on their way. And we don't do a good job of discipling them. Now, I do understand that, you know, we offer Sunday school and we offer Wednesday night services and stuff that might would help them. But, you know, I can remember when I was young going to actual, like, events that would try to help you learn how to be a witness, how to be a soul winner, how to tell others about Jesus Christ. And if those things are still around, I don't ever hear of them. And I know that, you know, we haven't done anything like that yet. Yet being a key word. But I do believe that we don't do a very good job of being of discipling new converts. And here the Bible tells us, he says, "If you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciple indeed." Big difference in being a believer in Jesus Christ and being a disciple. Big difference in knowing that Jesus Christ saved your soul. And look what he says here. If you continue in my word, if you live in my word, if you are dwelling in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Verse number 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'm glad tonight that one night when I was 7 years old that I met the truth. And that truth was Jesus Christ. Didn't understand a whole lot about it and still don't. You know, people ask me a whole lot of times about this or that, and I just have to tell them, look, I don't know the answer to that. I'll find it if it can be found, and maybe I won't find it. But I'm glad to know tonight that the reason that I'm free in my spiritual life is because of Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible tells us here, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That I'm not bound to being some kind of little robot that God made, but I am free tonight, and I have liberty in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that my Christianity is not dependent upon whether or not that I do or don't do certain things, but that the reason that I am free tonight is because I believed in Jesus Christ. I believed in what he did on the cross, that I believed that he overcome death, hell, and the grave, that he washed my sins away. And because of that tonight, that's the reason I'm free. I'm not free because I follow a list of things that I should or shouldn't do. Verse number 33, and they said, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You know, I believe that even today that there's a lot of people that don't understand that they're living in bondage, and they don't even know that they're living in bondage. They're living inside of captivity, and they don't know that they're inside of captivity. These people said, you know, we've never been in bondage. We've never been a servant. How in the world are you telling us that we shall be made free? But I want us to know tonight and realize that when people do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they are definitely living in bondage. Even as I was 7 years old, the night that I realized, and I believe that I was probably about six when I realized that I needed Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, best I remember, it was at Rock Hill Baptist Church, the first time that I felt conviction in my heart. And I believe from that time until the time that I accepted Jesus Christ, that I was then in bondage, that I was in a place that I knew that there was something missing in my life, and that something was Jesus Christ, and I was living in a place of bondage. I wasn't free. And they said, how do you say, we've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant to sin. You know, being in bondage to a man is one thing, but being in bondage to sin and being a servant of sin, and being, the Bible tells us that you can only serve one of two masters. You either love the one and hate the other. And tonight, if you're in bondage to a man, you know, there is a possibility that you could defeat that man under your own power. There is a possibility that you could overcome him. But if we're servants to sin tonight, and if we're servants to, let's just say it like it is, if we're a servant of Satan, there is no possible way that we can overcome that in our own power, in our own strength. There's no possible way to ever come out of that bondage. And he says, and Jesus said unto him, verily say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Do you know that there's people tonight, and they're servants of sin, they're in bondage to sin? They wouldn't like it if they heard me say this. They are serving Satan. Oh, Lord. But that's what the Bible teaches us. You're either serving one or you're serving the other. And tonight, they don't even understand that they're in bondage. Do you not know tonight, and do I not know and understand that there are people who are in predicaments, they're in situations, and they would love to stop doing what they're doing? They would love to be out from under that bondage of sin that they're in. Let's just go this direction. There are meth heads tonight that no longer want to be meth heads. They no longer want to be in that state. They no longer want to be in captivity to that. And it's not that they're a servant to some kind of man, because I believe that you would get to a place that you would want to be out from under that bondage and be able to overcome it. But it's a spiritual battle on the inside. It's something that they're a servant of sin, and it's something way stronger than what they can overcome. Verse number 35, the Bible says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Tonight, I want us to know, and when Jesus Christ sets us free from being a servant of sin, when Jesus Christ says, okay, you're no longer in that bondage. See, you know, when all of this started way back in 1776, or maybe when it ended in 1776, and it began before that, it was a place that people came here to be free. They wanted to be able to worship the God that they wanted to worship in the way that they wanted to worship. And then when things kind of didn't go the way that they were, when England started putting their hands on them and trying to control them, that's when an uprising started. That's when everything started to happen, and I ain't going to give you a history lesson tonight because Rossi's here and he would correct me before I got done. But if we got into that, we'd understand how that when they wanted freedom, they didn't want someone controlling them. And tonight I want you to know that when people are servants of sin, whether they know it or not, there is a spiritual battle that something has their thumb on it. It's like they're on a chain. And the only thing Satan has to do is jerk that chain. The only thing that Satan has to do is put that temptation there for them. And it's not that they want to fall into that that they want to be overtaken in that temptation again, but it's something bigger than they are. It's something bigger than that desire that's in them. And verse number 35, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And when the colony started deciding, you know what, we don't want to be under this any longer, we're going to have an uprising, we're going to fight for this, we're going to become free, and they begin to start that battle, and they begin to go through those things, and when they finally become free and they won the war and everything was over, then they was out from under that thumb. They were able to overcome that. But I want you to know tonight that there's people that have spiritual battles on the inside. Hey, if we'd all be honest, we have spiritual battles on the inside that without Jesus Christ fighting our battles for us, we would never overcome those battles. We would never win. But see, that's what I love about verse number 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Tonight, there may be something in our lives that we need to be set free from. There may be something that's holding us back as a Christian. There may be a pet sin in our life that it seems like we're having a hard time getting past. One of those things that I know I've had them in my life before, that one of those things that you go and you say, God, please forgive me for this. God, help me with this. And then you fall back into it again. And then you're, God, please help me with this. God, I don't want to do this anymore. Or maybe it's something that you do want to do for God. And man, you're just struggling with it. And it just keeps overcoming you. And it keeps overcoming you. But I want you to know tonight that on your own, you don't have the power to be set free from that. But through Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, and if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If we finally get to the place to where we truly give it to God and we trust completely in God's strength. See, that's my thing, is I say that I trust completely in God's strength and I say that I'm going to give this to God, but I really don't, because I continue to do all that I can do. It's not about what I can do. It's about letting the Son set me free. It's about letting the Son overcome and fight my battle for me. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Tonight, I don't know whether you have something in your life that maybe you need to be set free from. I don't know if maybe somebody in your family has something that they need to be set free from. But Jesus Christ is the answer to that. Jesus Christ is the only way that we will overcome. He is the only way that we can get past whatever is binding us. In order for us to be, in verse number 34, it says, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I don't want to be a servant. The only servant that I want to be is to Jesus Christ. I want to live my life for Him. I want to completely give my life to Him and trust Him and ask Him in everything that I do to set me free from this world, to set me free from the desires of this world, from the lust of this world, from everything that this world has to offer. I want to be set free from that and focus solely on what God wants for my life. But my problem is once again, I don't allow Christ to do that. I try to do it myself. I say, God, this is what I want, but this is how I want it. I'm really bad to tell God how He should do things. You might not do that, but I'm really bad to go, God, this is what needs happening in my life, and I know this is what needs to happen, and here's how we're going to do it. But see, you notice the Bible doesn't say, if you and the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But it says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free. If we finally just say, okay, God, take my life. I surrender my life. I completely give it to you, God. Everything about my life, I want to give it to you. And I want you to take my life. And I want you to give me the freedom that you've promised me in your word. I want you to give me the victory that you've promised me in your word. And I want you to work that work in me. And then quit doing what you can do and let God do it all, I know that I'll see a tremendous change in my Christian life. I'll see a tremendous change in my relationship with God. Because right now, I'm still, to be honest with you, I'm a servant to myself. I'm a servant to wanting what I want and when I want it, instead of saying, God, I'm all yours. Take me and use me the way that you want to use me. Look, I've got some friends, I've got some family, and it seems like, you know, if you ask me, I would say that they're in a hopeless situation. I would say, you know what? I mean, you know, we never know about somebody's heart. Only you and God know your heart. But I would say that they're lost, and I would say that they're hopelessly lost. They don't want to change. They're not looking for a change. They don't want to be set free. But you know what? Sometimes being, you know, my dog there at the house, we got one of those underground fences, and she's got a little collar on herself, and she runs around the house like she's free. She runs around the yard like she's free. And she'll just run through there and kick her feet up and just have a wonderful old time. But you start getting out there to one of those boundaries, and that collar goes to beeping, she realizes she's not free. See, a lot of times we're given the appearance that we're free and we're still in bondage. We're given the appearance that everything's okay and there's still something that's not quite right. And you know what? I've got friends and family that their life is going good. It looks like everything's okay. But I know that when they get by themselves and they hear that small, still voice, I know that they realize that they're in bondage. I know that they realize that things are not right between them and God. And I would say that they're hopelessly lost. But tonight I know without a doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ can set them free. I know that God can work a work in their life that they don't understand, that I don't understand, that nobody can understand except Jesus and the way that he works in their life. And as we go through tonight, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if you have something that you need to be set free from. Maybe you have somebody in your family that has some stuff that they need to be set free from. Maybe somebody you work with. I don't know. But I can think of three or four in my mind real quick that I know they're in bondage. And I'm not judging them. I was talking with a guy just this week, and we were talking about some people who are in some pretty bad situations. And I think I've got to the place, God help me, I think I've got to the place that when I say, hey, man, they got a bad issue right here, that I'm not judging them for that issue, but I just want to see them overcome it. I want to see them get out of that. I want to see them get the life that God wants them to have. Tonight, I want us to end service by just coming around the altar tonight and praying. I want us to end it here in just a moment. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's somebody that you know, maybe it's in your life, whatever it is, but don't, if we're in a place that we're being a servant of something, like I said, maybe it's not just one of the top 10 sins that we think of in our life, but maybe there's something that's holding you back. Maybe you've got an ault with somebody. Maybe there's somebody maybe they did do you wrong, and you're holding on to that. Well, you know what? That anger is not hurting them. It's hurting you. Maybe it's something like that that's holding you, or maybe, you know, like I've been in my life before, maybe you've got a pet sin, and man, that thing is just, it won't go away, and it's holding you bondage. Or tonight, maybe you got somebody in your family that you feel is in bondage, somebody that you work with, somebody that's close to you, a friend. I want us just to come around the altar tonight and pray. I'm going to pray for two different things. First of all, I want to give God glory for setting me free. No, I'm not a perfect Christian. I wouldn't even say that I'm a good Christian. But I do know without a doubt in my mind that I belong to Jesus Christ tonight. I know that he set me free, that he has given me liberty, that I will not stand and have to be shameful of my sin, and it's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to give him glory for that. But also, there's just been some people on my mind the past few days that, man, I'd love to see them overcome. If I thought that I could go to their house and beat the fire out of them and it straighten them up, I'd go do it. But that won't. The only thing that will is being set free by Jesus Christ. If y'all will, come and join me around the altar. If you will, if you can, if you're able. I'm thankful for my liberty, and at the same time, I want to see some others around me be set free. And we'll just close service tonight by having prayer together. Lord, I want to thank you for this day, and I want to thank you for all of your many blessings, God. I just want to thank you for being good to me and providing for me, God. Most of all, God, that you love me enough to allow your son, Jesus Christ, to give his life that I could be set free. God, I want to thank you for the liberty that I've experienced by being one of your children. God, I just want to give you honor and give you glory, God. So many times I take it for granted. God, I was saved at a young age, and you've kept your hand on my life. And so many times, God, I go on my way, and I'm not even thankful for it. And I just want to tell you tonight that I thank you, and I love you, and I praise you for being such a good God to me. God, I pray tonight, dear Father, as we've come around this altar, I'm sure that every family here tonight, God, that either we have someone in our family or a friend or someone, God, that maybe they haven't experienced that liberty. God, I pray, dear Father, for these people. God, I pray that you'll reach into their lives. God, I pray that you'll just touch them wherever they are, even right now. Maybe, God, that something's going on in their life that's got them in bondage. And God, we know that you said in your word that if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to love them the way that we should, to pray for them the way that we should. And God, I pray that you'll go to them wherever they're at right now, God. And I pray that you'll just squeeze their heart, God, and let them know that people care for them. Most of all, let them know that you love them, God, and that you want them to be one of your children. God, I want to thank you and praise you for each and every one around this altar tonight, God. God, I pray that you'll put your hand upon their life, God. I pray that you'll help us to live in the liberty that you've given us, God, to live in that freedom that you've given us. And God, I pray that you'll just help us, God, to be the church that you would have us to be. God, give us a desire for lost souls like we've never had before. And God, I pray that you'll help us to give a desire to disciple those new converts, God, that we may teach them to walk in your ways, God, and to help them, God, to walk in that liberty and in that freedom. God, I do want to thank you for the country that we live in, for the freedom that we have. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, that we'll turn back to you as a country, God, that we'll just be everything that you would have us to be, God, and dear Lord, that you may use us in the way that you would have us to be used. God, I pray most of all for our family that may be lost, God. I pray that you'll help them to see their need for a Savior. I pray that you'll just help them, God. I pray that you'll keep them safe. There's been some in our services in the past couple of weeks, God, that have acknowledged that they need you in their life, God, and they haven't made that move. And God, I pray that you'll just help them. God, I pray that you'll just give them that strength to step out and accept you before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray that you'll touch our children, touch the teenagers, God. I pray that you'll help them every single day, even though that they're living in liberty, God. I pray that you'll give them that desire to be a disciple, not just a believer, but to trust you and to walk in your ways. God, I pray that you'll keep us all safe as we go through the night, and I pray that you'll help us to always be what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.